Hello, hello, and welcome to Art House Garage, Arkansas's Art House podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Sweatman, and today on the show, we've got a very special interview with an Arkansas filmmaker named R.J. Daniel Hanna. Daniel has a new film called Hard Miles coming to theaters this Friday, April 19th. Daniel has been making movies for years and has directed several short films, and then his feature debut, which is called Miss Virginia, came out in 2019 and stars Uzo Aduba, Matthew Modine, Vanessa Williams, and Anjanou Ellis-Taylor. The new film, Hard Miles, stars Matthew Modine, Sean Astin, Leslie David Baker, and Cynthia K. McWilliams, among others. The lead, Matthew Modine, has been acting for years and is known for his work in the films Full Metal Jacket, Cutthroat Island, and more recently in The Dark Knight Rises and Oppenheimer. If you're a younger listener, you might not recognize his name, but you probably know his face. On Stranger Things, he plays the villain known as Papa. The new film, Hard Miles, is inspired by true events. Matthew Modine plays Greg Townsend, a social worker who works with incarcerated young men at a medium security correctional school. He's planning to take some vacation time for a cycling trip, but when the school's funding is in jeopardy and his vacation is canceled, he decides to turn some of his troubled students into a cycling team for the 700-plus mile ride from Denver, Colorado to the Grand Canyon. I was lucky enough to see this film at its world premiere last year at the Bentonville Film Festival, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It will hit theaters in limited release this Friday, April 19th, and it will be playing in several cities here in Arkansas. In the show notes of this podcast episode, there's a link to the IMDb movie showtimes for the film, so you can see where it's playing in your area. Just before we get to the interview, if this is your first time listening to Art House Garage, welcome. The podcast features movie discussions and filmmaker interviews with a focus on art house, indie, classic, and foreign cinema. We talk about movies big and small, and we're based in Arkansas, so we talk to Arkansas filmmakers whenever we can. We also call ourselves the, quote, snob-free film podcast, meaning we strive to make every episode easily accessible, even if you don't know much about movies. I encourage you to check your podcast feed to see the other films we've been covering lately to see if anything might be of interest. All right, let's get into today's interview. R.J. Daniel Hanna was kind enough to stop by the podcast and tell us about his career so far, being an Arkansas filmmaker, and how he wrote and directed Hard Miles. Here is the trailer, followed by our conversation.
Your Honor, he has shown real promise. I'm begging this court to give him the chance to realize that.
Our charter's under state review again. We need a positive story.
What's the matter with you, huh?
Urban delinquents rehabilitated by tall trees and bright sunlight. The donors love that kind of stuff. Hoods in the woods. It'll look good on Facebook.
The Grand Canyon. Are you kidding me?
Thinking miles, not inches.
What's it gonna clock out at? 750 miles?
Good guess. 762.
Each of these things is going to carry you across three states to the Grand Canyon.
But hear me out, I got a plan. Why don't we just drive?
If we drive and I could do that.
Right now, you are unfamiliar with your bicycle.
The seat is killing my tank.
Yeah, it's kind of stabbing my squeak.
You'll get used to it.
But by the end of this trip, you will become one with it.
Oh, here we go.
Grand Canyon, huh?
You are going to learn to work together.
Let's show the state who these kids really are.
Hey, boys, when we ride together, we say hope. Oh! Not that steep.
You gotta be kidding.
Typical cyclist. Can't stay in your lane.
That's a good one.
Greg, if you take those boys across the desert, they're going to fall apart.
They are going to see who they really are.
Help! Slow down!
I guess not!
If you guys would just listen to me, we'll get through this. Trust me.
Who are you, man? You think it's easy being us? You don't care about me.
That's not true.
You're always talking about wanting a crew. This is our crew. Right here.
You work with those kids every day.
High tolerance for pain, I guess.
Does anybody want any butt butter for your squeet?
You nasty. Hey,
no.
I'm gonna lube up.
Okay, let's not use that word.
Rick, do not get the buff on.
Welcome to the podcast, Daniel Hanna. How are you today?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Doing very well. So excited your film is coming out this week and excited to talk to you about it. So the film is called Hard Miles, and it actually premiered at Bentonville. So I saw it there and really enjoyed it. And I'm glad it's getting to be on several screens, you were just telling me. So it'll be around the country. So I wanted to ask, you know, as an Arkansas podcast and you as an Arkansas filmmaker, just how did you get your start making movies? What made you want to be a filmmaker? And how do you feel living in Arkansas affected that?
Yeah, I mean, I always was interested in writing. Like I always wrote, even as like a kid, I enjoyed writing. But movies came a little later. And I will say, you know, being in Arkansas, you kind of have this sense that everyone who's a filmmaker is basically from New York or L.A.,
yeah,
and there's really not much in between. And over time, you know, you started to see that change a little bit and people take more of an interest. And you saw people that were from Arkansas. There was Billy Bob Thornton, obviously, before, but that sort of felt different. He came at it from the Los Angeles, being like a L.A. actor kind of first. But people like David Gordon Green and Jeff Nichols, you realize there is interesting stories everywhere, interesting stories where you live. Yeah. And that, you know, every part of the country is sort of exotic to somewhere else if they're from a different place. And kind of seeing those stories made me think, okay, maybe I can tell stories that are you know, unique to me and personal to me, and that can still have a universal appeal, perhaps.
Yeah. The first work of yours that I ever saw was a short film called Shelter that stars Clea DuVall, and I was so impressed by it. And then I know you've made several other shorts as well. And then your first feature, Miss Virginia, a few years back. But if I'm correct, you didn't write that one, but this new film, Hard Miles, is the first feature that you've written. Is that true?
Yeah, it's the first feature I've directed that I've written, and I co-wrote it with my producer, but it definitely is a different experience being a writer, developing the story, figuring it out, and going into the directing position from that place of, okay, we've kind of crafted and designed this, and sort of feeling like we have to, if you're doing a true story, you always feel, or I always feel anyway, you have to, you know, honor the person that you're making the story about and make sure that you have like a, you know, you have sort of a duty to them. But beyond that, or after that, you kind of really only have a duty then, it feels like, to yourself and your own goals for a film, which is a little different than making a movie for hire, in a sense, or taking on someone else's script, where you sort of have to, you know, you have an obligation to them as well to try and see their vision through. So it was a different experience and one that I'm really happy to have had.
Nice. When I was going to ask about, you know, this being a true story, when did you first hear the story? What inspired you to say, yeah, this should be a movie?
Yeah, so my producer and co-writer, Christian Sander, he initially found the story and he had read a couple articles about Greg and he felt like there was a movie there. We agreed there was a movie there. It wasn't, you know, 100% clear exactly how the movie would be structured or how it would work as a movie based on the true story, but it was clear there was something really compelling there, a story of someone who is not just a local hero, but, you know, but someone who is heroic to a lot of people at kind of a ground level, you know, and how his own struggles and his own past sort of dovetailed with, you know, with the stories of the kids that he was trying to help. And there was just something there, but it was a couple of years kind of floating around in our heads before we really sat down and tried to tackle it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, sports movies, this is sort of a sports movie. It's not like my favorite genre necessarily, but going into this, I, you know, didn't know exactly what to expect, but I felt like it did kind of do away with some of the cliche things you see in sports movies and that kind of thing. Was that intentional or how much was that on your mind?
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, we went into it thinking kind of the same thing. Like we were thinking of it like, okay, it sort of has to fall into the sports movie genre probably for it to really work to have a wider appeal rather than being a traditional drama. Mm-hmm. But the kind of conversations we would have would be like, okay, we wanted to stick close to the true story. We didn't want to really fictionalize things, but many movies like this do, they kind of go really off on a whole other direction. And so early on, it was making a decision of like, okay, we're not going to do something where they've got to win a race at the end to like win money for the school or, you know, something like that, was really kind of cliche and fabricated, mm-hmm. and to sort of accept cycling is about pushing yourself and sort of your, obviously there are cycling races, but in this case, generally it was about your own accomplishment for yourself of completing the goal. And so we wanted to stick to that and lean into that and try and make that its own compelling thing related to the characters.
Yeah. I was thinking like, why did it not feel cliche? And I think it was because it was so grounded. It didn't, it didn't go over the top going for the big emotions and that kind of thing. It feels more kind of satisfying in that way. I was going to ask too, are you a cyclist yourself? Is that something you have a history of?
So other than, I mean, I used to ride my bike to school every day, you know, when I was a kid and around the neighborhood and stuff. But other than that, I don't do like big road cycling or anything like that. You know, my co-writer Christian, he kind of took it up sort of to learn a little bit, and has embraced it. But for me, I, you know, I ride a few miles, you know, down to like a place I'm going to go to, that kind of thing. And I actually had the experience like the kids of clipping in for the first time on a bike with Greg, the real Greg. Showing me how to do it. And you know, that kind of gave a little bit of that experience from the perspective of the students, what it's like to have to get into that and sort of try and embrace this very weird, like, you know, the weird outfits and all that kind of stuff. But I did really realize, wow, it is, you are a lot more kind of powerful when you're clipped into this bike because you get the, you know, you get force, not just when you're pushing on the pedal, but when you're pulling on the pedal. And so that really was an experience that was a bit, you know, kind of liberating and empowering. And so I think that is a cool aspect of the film for these kids in the subtext that they're getting this experience on the bikes of getting out in the world and traveling. Mm-hmm. You know, that was definitely something I felt too.
That's cool. I'm a little bit of a cyclist myself. And so like the scenes where like they're the different body parts that are hurting after, you know, the new rider, that all felt very true and kind of relatable. And it's cool that it premiered at Bentonville because that, if you know anything about Bentonville, anyone listening, it's, they love their arts and they love their bicycles. Like it's a great site. It was a really a great kind of location to kick it off. I wanted to ask about your cast. I'm assuming you met Matthew Modine when you made Miss Virginia. Is that true? Or how did you come across him?
Yeah. So that was the first time we met. I mean, the first time we met in person was on set, you know, second day of the shoot, which was his first day. And it was, that was when we met in person after a couple phone calls for that movie. And, you know, luckily we had a good working relationship there and had gone to a couple of the screenings together. And so we had a sense of each other as people and gotten to know each other. And so when this came along, you know, we were often discussing because the real Greg has done these rides over many, many years and continues to do them now, you know, into his later years. And we debated, you know, we didn't want to make it a period piece because we couldn't afford that. So it's kind of always a question of how do we sort of make a movie that represents Greg and all of the things he's gone through in his life. We ultimately decided to make of him as like a closer to his age now, like an older person setting out. And once we kind of settled on that, I thought that Matthew was a really great choice for that role and someone who would really bring that to life. And is also like Greg, the real Greg, someone who's very physically fit and able, you know, at the stage he's in now.
That's great. Yeah, I think he does a great job, and he's, you know, he feels heroic as we're watching him, but he also is not perfect, and I think he nails that kind of that aspect of the character. Asha's other big name, Sean Astin and Leslie David Baker in it. You know who I was so impressed with that I had never seen before? Cynthia K. McWilliams as Hattie. How did you cast that part?
Yeah, she's wonderful. I mean, she was through our casting director, Ron Pennywell. He had for that role, he had sent us just, you know, tape over, you know, footage of her reel and all the stuff she'd done. And she really was unique in the sense that you could see she was very funny. She'd done a lot of comedy and she had the comedic chops, but also she really could hold her own in a dramatic sense. And she'd done that side too, like fully. And so she was really fully realized as like a dramatic actor and a comedic actor. And we needed somebody who had that toughness and also that compassion and that charm. And you could really see it just, it's a very rare set of skills that she had. And so she was really it for us. And we, she wanted to do it. We wanted her to do it. And we ended up, struggling through because it was during COVID still, and she ended up getting stuck in Italy for like a friend's wedding, you know. Oh, wow. Right up leading up to the shoot, because she wasn't able to take her plane back. And so we were really fighting at the last second to not have to recast her, because we just knew she really had the thing that we needed. And she gave us that. Yeah,
she's fantastic in it, and she brings such a different energy to most of the other people on screen, and I think it's important for the film. And then the young men who are cycling, how did you cast those parts?
Yeah, they were you know, an audition process through our casting director too, and so we initially got their self tapes, and you know, because we were trying to find money and trying to figure out all these things, it was a long process where they had auditioned, and we had really settled on like, okay, we really love these two, you know, it's kind of between two people for each role, really. And then many, many months later, we had them come back and read together, where we had them all read with different parts and get different perspectives on how each of the parts work together, you know, because sometimes two people might be too similar in one kind of part and bring the same thing. When you see them together and you realize that, and it was kind of a testing process there, but each of the guys we cast, I mean, I think is just perfect in their roles and brought such a wealth to the each character and a depth, and just broadened our feeling of them compared to what's on the page. So they really knocked it out of the park. And
yeah,
I'm happy for them that they're all seem to be doing well and people are seeing that.
That's great. Yeah, they each have a unique sort of personality and bring something different. That's really cool. I just thought to ask this, are they based on the actual real people, or were they more fabricated characters for the film?
So each one is inspired by a real person. They are, because they have to represent a lot of kids, they're a little bit of an amalgam of students. But at the same time, there were really specific issues that the real Greg had dealt with that we wanted to approach. You know, he had dealt with people that had, like Smink had an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. Definitely people like Atencio, who'd been, you know, part of gangs or had family that were in gangs and were kind of trying to leave that life. Mm-hmm. So we really pulled aspects from each one. And even if we didn't always, like for the Woolbright character, Jock King, who's kind of the leader and kind of a little bit of the antagonist, however you want to call it, towards Greg for part of the film,
brings that energy, you know, too.
All of his pieces we pulled from a real person, but we don't you don't necessarily learn all the details of it, but it gave us the jumping off point of the kind of, you know, the kind of issues that they were dealing with and the kind of volatility that they were dealing with and where that came from, and also how the real Greg often dealt with it, you know, which was he would have compassion for them, but also had tough love and sort of expected them, despite these hardships, to overcome them and keep going, which I think was really important for them.
Yeah. And such a perfect like analogy for a hard cycling, you know, trip. That's great. What were some of the challenges of production? You mentioned, you know, Cynthia Kavik Williams not being there till the last minute. Were there other things that, I mean, it seems like you're out in the heat a lot.
Yeah, being on the road was hard. You know, it was hard being more in it's always hard, right? It was hard shooting bike stuff in a city for the couple of days we had to do that. Mm-hmm. It's really restricted. And then when you get out on the open road, that's great because you have freedom. But at the same time, just trying to film a movie in the elements with limited support, limited gear, all that was really challenging. And you know, from the elements perspective, like we had 60 mile per hour wind one day where we had to kind of shut our scenes down and get a couple little things that we could. 109 degree heat, you mentioned the heat. Just in general, it was a very complicated and physically demanding, you know, job, because the guys, if they had to ride uphill and they had to do it, you know, they'd have to do it multiple takes and then multiple angles. And it was tiring for sure. And then from our perspective, we're trying to get specific lines and specific moments on bikes and not shoot it in a way where everything is just like a character kind of in a locked off looking shot where maybe you could have done it on a green screen, you know, had you not been out there. So that was the other fight of just trying to make it feel authentic from the perspective of they're actually on the bikes and moving and they're really there. And it was great. I mean, it was great that we pushed ourselves to do that, but hard. Every day was pretty hard. Yeah,
I can imagine. So I was at the Bentonville premiere. Did you feel like it was a good response there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what's nice about this movie is it is, you know, kind of half of a comedy in a way. And so you get that immediate response of if people laugh and respond to the humor, which they did. But, you know, at that one, a lot of people came up after and were really, you know, emotionally invested in the movie. We did have one of the real, a real student who had gone on the cycling journey with Greg, who now, you know, works in film in Mexico City. He was there able to see it, which was really a really cool thing to kind of get one of the characters that, you know, that is sort of a loose inspiration, you know, for one of ours there. And, you know, Gina Davis seemed to really love the film and came up to us after the next day. Matthew and I were having breakfast and she was very complimentary about it and wanted to talk about it. So that's, you know, can't really do much better than that, I think.
That's cool. I know you've played some other festivals. Have response been exciting across
the world? Yeah, it really has been. I mean, it's nice. It's nice how much the story has kind of touched people. And I think that's great because Greg's story is an amazing story. And I really think that's the heart of it, you know, that's the starting point of it. And it's just, you know, you try and make something that hopefully connects with people. And it's really nice when it seems like that works and that's happened. And so we had a really great run and enthusiastic participants. And, you know, I hope that energy continues in theaters and that people see it and get something from it and take something away from it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that is dropping in limited release this Friday. Yeah, that's April. What's the date for that? Sorry.
19th. Yeah.
April the 19th. And it is going to be playing here in Little Rock where I am. So if you're an Arkansas listener, it'll be at the Regal McCain. And
Little Rock, Rogers, Jonesboro and Fayetteville unless we got a couple more. We have gotten a couple more. We got several more today. So
check your local listings for this Friday, April 19th. And
Fort Smith. Forgot about that. Sorry.
Oh, Fort Smith.
Yeah.
Really encourage everyone to get out and see it. Thank you so much for joining me for this, Daniel. It's been a pleasure and been wanting to get you on the podcast forever. So I hope this isn't the last time, but I hope we can
come. Absolutely. No, it was great. Thanks for the questions. It was really nice.
Thanks. Thank you so much to Daniel for joining the show. Stay tuned to your podcast feed. I've got an episode coming up about the new film from Alex Garland called Civil War. You probably have heard of. It's proving divisive, and I can't wait to dig into it with my friend Russell Miller. I've also got an episode coming up about a gaming documentary that played at Tribeca called Break the Game. It's about a famous Twitch streamer and a Zelda speedrunner charting their rise and fall. If you don't know some of those words, don't worry, we'll break it all down for you. The subject of the film, Narcissa Wright, is also a trans woman, and the film explores how Narcissa's gender expression has affected her, especially being in the public eye over the years. The filmmaker, Jane M. Wagner, spoke with me recently about her film, and I can't wait to share that conversation with you. Also coming soon, my favorite film out of Sundance is called Porcelain War. It's a documentary about Ukrainian artists living and fighting for their existence amidst the ongoing war. I spoke with the filmmakers and subjects recently, and I'll share that soon alongside some reactions to the film. And with that, thank you so much for listening to Art House Garage. We've got a few years worth of episodes. You can hear all of those in your podcast app of choice. Our theme music is by composer Paul Hunefeld. Learn more at appallingproductions.com. If you want to support Art House Garage, become a patron over at patreon.com/arthousegarage or find a link in the show notes. And with that, you get ad-free episodes. You can also buy an Art House Garage t-shirt at arthousegarage.com/shop. If you want to support us without spending any money, leave a rating or review in your podcast app, and that is hugely helpful. Stay in the loop about Art House Garage and the films we're covering by subscribing to our email newsletter at arthousegarage.com/subscribe, or you can email me directly, andrew@arthousegarage.com. And of course, follow on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. Just search at Art House Garage in all those places, or find links in the show notes. And that will do it for this episode. Thank you again so much for listening. And until next time, keep it snob free.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.